This is Calliope Writing Coach, the podcast about writing and publishing success from every angle. I'm Angie Fenimore, international best-selling author and writing coach.
And I'm Michael Sheen, author, platform designer, and marketing master. Episode 34, Creating Your Money Ripples. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Calliope Writing Coach Podcast. You've got Michael and Angie in the house.
Hello, hello.
And today our special guest is Mr. Chris Miles. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, that's awesome being here.
Chris is the cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. He is a leading authority teaching entrepreneurs and professionals how to quickly free up and create cash flow today, spending time doing what they love most. He's an author and podcast host of the Chris Miles Money Show, has been featured in US News, CNN Money, EO Fire, and has a high reputation with his company, Money Ripples, getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results. In fact, his personal clients have increased their cash flow by over $100 million in the last 7 years. Excellent. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks. I know, it sounds amazing, doesn't it? I mean, it's seriously over $100 million just in the last seven, now going on almost 8 years now.
That's
incredible.
Amazing. I want to get some of that. So, what got you into financial management? Where did you begin?
Well, you know, I guess like a lot of people, going a totally different path than you intended. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I actually went to college to do study things like sociology, psychology. I actually could have had a triple minor with psychology, ballroom dancing, and Japanese.
Very interesting.
That is a good combination. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a fun combination. And but my purpose was I was going to become a business consultant, so I thought, well, I should have real life business experience if I'm going to do mm-hmm. that. So mm-hmm. I dropped out of college with one class to go, and then I decided that, okay, I'm going to do this. And the first business that kind of hit me that pinged a little bit was being a financial advisor, which I had never ever done anything with finances. I mean, other than taking like a little high school accounting or banking class or whatever, you know. And I took care of a bag of flour that I called a baby once,
yeah,
that was pretty much it. So, that's kind of where I ended up starting it, but I ended up really enjoying it. I really liked helping people. Mm. But after 4 years of doing that, I realized a lot of the stuff I taught just didn't work. Mm. And it was very focused on long-term, save everything, spend nothing, invest mm-hmm. in the stock market, save forever, if you have long enough mm-hmm. to live, basically be cheap and scarce your entire life.
Mm-hmm. See, even though I don't subscribe to that school of thought, the mom in me still cringed when you said mm-hmm. you dropped out with one class to go. It's like, it's such a mindset, that it's real. I swear it's we're born with this idea that you really just have to live like they did in the Depression era,
mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's very scarce in how it's taught. And
right.
And the thing is, I don't believe we're meant to live a scarce life. I believe we're meant to thrive and be abundant. And as I started to meet people that were actually millionaires, people that had, and some of them become self-made millionaires by their mid-20s into their 30s. And I thought, man, like these guys know something I don't. Why should I keep ascribing to this crap? So mm-hmm. I quit. Mm-hmm. I actually dropped out. I said, I'll just go do mortgages and I'll teach ballroom dancing. And that was back in mm-hmm. 2006. But I still wanted to learn what they did. And so I started to hang out with them more and learn from them. And next thing you know, by July of 06, just 4 months after I quit being a financial advisor, I was able to retire at 28 years old.
Holy cow.
And only had a few thousand in my bank account because I learned how to create streams of income and things like that. And really that's what I've been teaching ever since for the last 11 years. Because even though I retired, the thing is I hated it. It was boring. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like people kept calling me out. I mean, people kept saying, hey, how'd you do what you did? And so over that time, and even going through the Great Recession, where I went from millionaire to upside down millionaire and $1 million in debt and $16,000 in the hole each month with no money, no credit or anything, I was able to battle back out of that and pay those off and get to a place now where I make way more money than I ever did when I was first retired.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah. So I'm curious if you're able to duplicate these results for your clients.
Yeah. I mean, really the way I create the results is I just give them the same tools that I use myself, and I actually have like a little ebook that I did on my website, moneyripples.com, that talks about the seven main things that we do. But I mean, everything from getting them to, watching their money, not ignoring it, you know, like looking at what's coming in and going out, mm-hmm. saving on taxes, ways to pay off debt that's different than what everybody else teaches. I actually don't care about the interest rate. I actually care more about the cash flow. How to create, you know, speaking of cash flow, how to create streams of income so you can have passive or residual streams. And the fact that lately a lot of the people I've had coming to me are more like, hey, I've got some money. I make decent money in my business, or I make decent money in my job or my employment, but man, I want my money working for me so I don't have to keep working for money. Or I want to work in my business because I love it, not because mm-hmm. I need money. So I'm purely working this because I love it. And in fact, I just had a lady last year retire to Bali. She's just in her mid-50s, and she was going to ramp up her business, but then she felt that wasn't right. It didn't resonate with her. And so I said, well, let's get you to wind down instead of wind up. We did. And now she's in Bali, and she teaches yoga occasionally and goes scuba diving, and you know, and she can do her business whether she wants to or not. And that to me is where there's real freedom, because when you have cash flow, mm-hmm. there's options. And when there's options, then you have freedom.
Good. You know, I mean, it may sound like we're off on a tangent here because we talk about writing advice, right, on our podcast. But wouldn't it make a difference if, you know, like it would sure make a difference for me if I could go to Bali and just write, you know, and run courses and write? I mean, that is something, besides being a published author, that is also something that people who want to write deal with. Really, it's that trade, you know, making that leap from the day job to writing to make a living. Yeah. And that holds a lot of writers back. You know, they have to handle the finances and then they have to tuck the manuscript away.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So that would make a big difference for writers. But so I want to talk a little bit about the books that you've written. You mentioned that you co-wrote with John Lee Dumas, and you know, we've had him on our podcast as well. But I'd love to hear about your books as well. You know, what you've written, and you know, in the process.
Yeah, so I openly admit I am not a big writer. You know, I mean, even like my ebook online, I mean, that thing is seriously 28 pages, and that's because I added page breaks and some pictures. You know, because I'm one of those people, I'm like, hey, I just want to say it and get to it. I even added a little bit of story. It was 15 pages. I decided to add more of my story to it a little bit. But for me, I like the spoken word. And John Lee Dumas was one of those people. I had a friend who was a mutual friend with him, as well as Tim Ferriss. I had met Tim years ago. Tim wrote The 4-Hour Work Week, if you've heard that best-selling book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he said, hey, here's an opportunity to write a book with these guys. And I thought, all right, I'm in. And we actually, it was kind of cool. We actually transcribed it. So he recorded audio for my chapter, sent me the transcription. I went and edited it, added a little bit to it, made it seem a little bit more, more literary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was horrible. When you realize how you speak versus how you write, it can be definitely very different. So edited it a little bit, but got it out there published, and it was great. I mean, it didn't become a bestseller, but honestly, I didn't really care. It got me the relationship. It got me on John's show now twice. And in fact, my business has exploded since then, just because of that opportunity that was like a $2,000 investment to buy, you know, a couple hundred books, you know. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So Chris, tell us a little bit about what advice you would have for our writers who are aspiring to become self-sufficient with their writing. How can money management help them do that?
Well, you know, it's so much easier to focus on writing when you're not stressed about money, right? let's be honest. My wife right now, she's in the process of writing a few books currently, you know, and it for her, it's been so nice because she's like, you know what? I don't have to worry about the money. I don't have to worry about all these things going on because, you know, I know we're taken care of. Mm-hmm. And it allows her to be in a great space, allows her to be able to heal, to really dive inward, you know, really like really kind of introspect herself. And I think that's been absolutely essential. So yeah, I mean, when it comes to money, I mean, not just the money aspect of being able to write freely and feel you're okay to write, but because really, I don't think money's an excuse to not write, to be honest. I mean, I don't care how bad your financial situation is. I mean, you should be able to write, but definitely when cash flow is easier, it's easier to focus and write and relax, you know, and I think that's the key. But even afterwards, I mean, you gotta really understand how to manage your finances, because I've seen so many people have a great book, but one, either they don't know how to market it, or two, how to monetize it. And then the next thing you know, that book just ends up sitting on a shelf and just goes nowhere. And the thing is, you don't have to have like the best written book. You know, they don't call them best-selling writers. They call them best-selling authors for a reason, you know. doesn't have to be best written, but definitely you need to be in a place where, you know, you're always looking at how do I capitalize on what I have.
Right.
Right. And a book can really make a difference, especially if you're a speaker, you know, to have that in the back of the room. Not only is it additional cash flow, it has a way of keeping you connected then to, you know, your audience.
It really does. I mean, it's one way for people to take you home with them, right? I
mean, exactly.
Especially if you go and speak, I mean, to be able to say, hey, you can take me home with you. Here's more, or hear more about my story. I only gave you, I mean, depending on which stage you're speaking on, you might only get 10 or 15 minutes. That's hardly enough time to, I mean, you have just enough time to connect, just enough to get them interested to then connect with you further. And just like how I use my podcast, you know, I use my podcast to develop that relationship, to get people to know me just as a book would. And I'll tell you that that's critical. Like I've had so many people reach out to me, say, hey, I feel like I know you and, you know, I want to work with you. I don't know what you do exactly, but I feel like you're the person for me. And that's exactly what a book can do or a podcast or any of those things is it develops a relationship with your readers or your listeners.
And it's all about developing relationships. We think you know, we think it's about broadcasting to the widest possible audience, but it's really about creating a relationship with each person in the widest possible audience, you know, and a book can do that like nothing else.
Yeah, you don't have to be there holding their hand or talking to them late at night. You can just go to sleep and let them read it late at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's kind of an awkward feeling. We just met somebody who is one of our clients. We met them for the first time the other day. And right out the gate, it's like she said, I feel like I know you because of all the content that you've produced. And she, you know, big hugs all around. And, you know, it was our first time meeting her. But it really does help to connect you with your audience.
Oh, yeah, the weird one is this one I get recognized from time to time. I had one of those the other day, and I'm telling you, I was a mess. I was scrambling to buy an outfit. I had like 10 minutes before I had to be home and getting ready for a dinner with Richard Paul Evans. And these lovely people, this lovely couple and the store clerk were trying to help me pick out this outfit. And it finally like came out, you know, well, I'm really in a hurry and, you know, this is formal. I can't really wear a sweater and blah, 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 blah. And, oh, well, what are you going to? And, you know, of course, it comes out who I am. And of course, I'm like looking my worst, which I'm totally fine with, but I'm not sure they are, you know. But anyway, so then it was another half an hour conversation, of course. But
yes, you know, yes.
And those kind of moments, actually, they've been inspiring for me because I remember I was at a conference, a big conference, there was 18,000 people. I knew very few people there. And so I remember I was out in the hallways. And as I was sitting there, I saw this guy looking at me. It was kind of uncomfortable because it's like, why is this guy staring at me? Like, I'm not his type. <You know? laughs> And pretty soon he had the courage. He came up to me. He said, hey, are you Chris Miles? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, like my wife, she got me introduced to you, but I've been listening to your show for a long time. And oh my gosh, like it's, I love it. Like our whole network marketing team listens to this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, here, let me get my wife. And he goes, grabs his wife. And then pretty soon they grab other people from their team. And there's like six people. And I'll tell you what's crazy for me was that morning I was debating about whether I should quit my business.
Wow.
Like, I was at a point where I was like, I felt depressed. I was like, does anybody even really care? Is anybody listening? And I'm sure you guys felt the same way as authors. Like, does anybody even care? Is anybody listening? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys felt the same way as authors. Like, is anybody even me? And then all of a sudden there's these six people that say, no, you've changed our lives. And
exactly.
Hey, maybe we can't afford you yet, but hey, like it's been amazing. And we promote it to everybody we talk to. Like it's changed our lives. And that was just enough to keep me going a little bit longer to eventually see more of the fruits of my labors that have now blossomed in a humongous business.
Yeah,
I have really a friend who's an author who she wrote a little novella called The Christmas Bike. And her name is Tara Mayoris. And she was at a book signing and somebody was, you know, looking at the back and saw that I wrote her, I wrote a cover quote for her. Mm-hmm. And then when he saw that, he bought 8 books because he said that I had changed his life back years before. And so he bought them for Christmas presents for all of his kids and in-laws and all of that. And so you don't you don't always know the impact that you have, you know, I mean, this ripple effect that you have changing lives as well. And then, you know, Tara's book is the sweet story that also changes perception and changes lives. And so, you know, it's just, it's incredible what can happen when, number one, you have a podcast, number two, you have a book out, and then people get to know you that way intimately, because when you've written a book, it really is intimate sharing about yourself, and they do connect like they know you.
I sure do.
Chris, one of the things that I want to talk about is content creation. And, you know, how long have you been doing your podcast? How many episodes do you have out? How long did it take for it to really, really take off? I mean, was there a certain point in time where you noticed a significant uptake in listenership?
Yeah. You know, I had a podcast from long before, and that podcast, the whole purpose was just, you know, commonly asked questions that my clients would ask. I thought, hey, I'm getting tired of answering the same questions. How can I make this easier on myself, right? How can I lighten my workload? Mm. And that's how I started. And I went away from it when I launched my business's Money Ripples about 5 years ago. And then I remember I was on actually on John Lee Dumas' show on Entrepreneur on Fire. And after that first show, I drove people to my website. I remember there was like, I can't remember, it was like 200 or 300 people that opted in just within a 24 to 48 hour period. Mm. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking like, wow, that podcast is really powerful. And I talked to a friend. He said, well, why don't you start your podcast again? And I thought, you're right, I should. Mm-hmm. And so I did. Like, that was a Friday. He told me that, a Friday afternoon. And by Tuesday morning, I released my first episode, you know, of my new show, the Chris Miles Money Show. And so as I got started, it was very, I mean, obviously very light listeners. It was hard to tell. I mean, it's funny how the listening, you know, downloads and stuff work, because I remember the system I was using, all of a sudden they redid it. They said, oh, you're going to see about half the listeners of what you're used to, because we found out there's non-organic type downloads and whatnot. So
right.
Also, it was kind of depressing because I'm like, oh, I only have half the listeners I thought I had. But, you know, I remember getting the idea when I was on other people's interviews. I thought, you know what? Like, I can really connect with people on those interviews. Why not just, if they're already listening to podcasts, why not just drive them to my podcast? Mm-hmm. And so when the next time I went on Entrepreneur on Fire, that's what I did. Instead of driving to my website to get, you know, build my email list, instead I thought, let's get some listeners. Let's get some followers. And overnight, my numbers doubled. And it was incredible. And so much opportunities come from that. There's so many people, even today, that was a year and a half ago. Even today, I'm getting people that say, hey, I heard you on your episode on Entrepreneur on Fire back in 2016. And it's like, oh, well, cool. Thanks for listening in. They're like, yeah, I've listened to all your episodes now. What else can I do? You know, or I had one guy that reached out to me that actually not only interviewed me a couple times on his show, but got me on another guy's show. And actually, just from that one person that led to another referral, has actually got me to where I make like 6 figures a month because of that relationship. Mm-hmm. So it works. I mean, it may not happen overnight. It's been 3 years I've had that podcast, and I've had like 180 episodes now or so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's when you're consistent with it, you keep at it, it's amazing what can come from that.
So the takeaway lesson I want our listeners to get from this, you guys, is that it is about persistence, and it is about getting yourself out there. Now, you know, having a social media account with 50,000 followers is great, but if you're not connecting with those followers, it doesn't mean anything. It won't turn into book sales, and it won't turn into speaking gigs. But if you connect with people and make those relationships, build those relationships, then that does turn into something. And I can't tell you, you know, how many people that we have met in the weirdest ways, you know?
And something I want to add to that too is to treat every relationship like gold.
Yes.
You know?
It's so fun to trace the genealogy, if you will, from a certain relationship and say, you know, that client came from that one who came from that one who came from that one. Mm-hmm. And you trace it all the way back, and it's just mind-blowing. Because, you know, we spoke at this little tiny yoga retreat 2 years ago, and there were like 20 people there. And the ripple that has come from that has just been incredible. And so, two takeaways. One is always say yes.
Always say yes.
Always
say yes. Sort it out. You know, I loved, Chris, that you said, you know, and by Tuesday, it was up. You know, it's we tend to think that we have to have it all figured out. And I'm going to say you got to edit and edit and edit that book, make sure that it's really good. But you really do want to say yes to everything and then figure it out. And if it's perfect, you've waited too long, you know.
That's true.
So you've talked a little bit about your book and you even downplayed it a little bit. But I think that, you know, you've even written it is amazing. Tell us more how to get your book.
Yeah. Really, it's just available on the website, moneyripples.com. It's on actually on the front page there. And yeah, you just you can basically just get it as a download. So it's very much digital format. I've noticed that nobody wants me to ship books anymore or audio CDs or anything. So, which is great by me because that's less trips to the post office. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so anyways, yeah, you can just download there from moneyripples.com.
Okay, excellent.
Beyond rice and beans.
Rice and beans. I love it.
Beyond rice and beans, seven secrets to free up cash today. So I kind of made a direct jab at a famous guy that loves to teach people how to live on rice and beans and get that extra pizza job and basically live a life that sucks. And
no.
I'm not about that. No. I'm about having abundance of prosperity today.
That's a great cover, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. No, I think you've done a great job there. And again, for those of you who are listening, you know, Chris tries to downplay his book that it's only how many pages? 28 pages. But it's something that people can have.
You can sit down and you can consume that
away.
Baby. You know?
Yeah.
How much?
The content's great. I mean, it's seriously, it's all the stuff that my clients have done on average that have freed up $34,000 a year in just the first year alone. That's increasing usually year after year, too.
That's great.
And I love the concept that wealth is how you live. It's not your bank, the number on your bank account.
Exactly.
Can you give us a couple principles from your book and from your teachings?
Yeah. Well, you talked about that for one. I mean, for example, like a lot of times spenders, you can get all the bad rap when it comes to financial advisors and experts and people out there, right? They'll say like, oh, it's always the problem with the country. The reason they're all suffering financially is because they're all spenders. Well, the truth is that really, I would say, yeah, maybe about half the people, if that, are spenders. But there's still another half of people that are savers that do exactly as those people recommend that are still struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And they can never, you know, there's scarcity in both scenarios. I mean, spenders, there's scarcity in the fact that they feel like they have to keep making and keep hustling, quote unquote, right? You know, as you hear everybody say, the new 21st century word for work your tail off is called hustle. You know, not actually work smarter, but work harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you hear all these people say like, oh, well, yeah, like, you know, I got to make more money. Like you got to keep hustling basically to keep your spending lifestyle going. But there's also a scarcity mentality in the saver because the savers are all about, hey, I can never save enough. I can never pay off my debt fast enough. It's never enough. And you can never be financially free if you're in a place where it's never enough. That it doesn't matter what that number is. It keeps going up.
So basically, it's the scarcity mentality that is the ailment, but then there are different symptoms that show up in different people.
Exactly. I mean, all the financial advice you're hearing that's popular out there, the very typical stuff you've heard, you know, that stuff is all taught from a place of scarcity. And scarcity doesn't attract money. It actually only takes money out of your pocket. And so I teach instead people to be stewards, which actually takes the best of the spender and the saver and puts it into one person. Because at least spenders are willing to use money. Money is meant to be used. It's meant to flow and grow, not accumulate and stagnate.
The entire economy collapses if nobody spends money.
Exactly. And in fact, that's what happened in the Great Depression. People weren't spending money. And when people weren't spending money, nobody's getting paid. And then when nobody gets paid, they can't spend money. And everybody's just suffering together.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have that exchange, that flow. Flow creates life, just like with blood, with water. And money's no different.
Hey, I say that.
Do you?
Like exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a true principle.
It is.
And that's the thing that's missing from financial advice, that they don't teach true principles. They teach you little strategies that really help banks and financial institutions more than it helps you. Help the financial advisors get richer than you do. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so it teaches the exact opposite. It's like, hey, how do we do the opposite? How do we look at it differently? How do we apply these strategies from a place of abundance, not from a place of scarcity, where you don't have to live on ramen or rice and beans? You can actually enjoy your life, you know, have your cake and eat it too, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Or eat your cake and have it too.
That's right.
There you go. So talk a little bit more about what your offerings look like, Chris. How do we get your advice and your programs?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously there's things, even on that website, there's like different ways you can get like audio recordings, like, you know, audio downloads and things like that, of course. And that is everything from like group programs to even one-on-one coaching, you know, and that's where I get the most reward, of course, is working with people one-to-one, you know, is helping them out. And I mean, really the name of my company, Money Ripples, came, it was actually when I was out for a jog the other, back in 2012. I was trying to think of a name. I was like, okay, what do I do? You know, like I was trying to create names with cash flow in it and stuff. And all of a sudden I thought, well, what's my vision? And I remember my vision. I remember with the people I'd already helped up to that point, I'd helped hundreds of people free up tens of thousands a year, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking like, man, like the benefit it had in their life, that not just for themselves, but as a spouses in their marriage, it actually helped save marriages and get them on the same page.
Oh, that's great.
It created a new, you know, kind of like generational effect. It really created like a new way of looking at prosperity and freedom for generations. There's that ripple effect, and it can start with their community, their families, their community, the country, and ultimately across the world. And I was like, yeah, that's that ripple effect of prosperity. And all of a sudden it hit my mind. It's like, Money Ripples, that's the name. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is. And that's where it started for me. It was really with helping those families one-to-one, you know. And, you know, like when I had a client from North Dakota where we freed up $6,000 a month, and he refused to stop working. He refused to ever spend money on himself or anything else. He was, you know, didn't have the time with his family. And I remember after he freed up that $6,000 a month, his wife called me in tears, and she's like, you know what? Guess what? My husband went out and bought a four-wheeler, which, by the way, every financial advisor would freak out, right? Like Dave Ramsey would be rolling in his non-grave, right? But he went out and bought a four-wheeler. She's like, that's the best investment he'd ever did, because now he's spending time with the family. We're enjoying it. We're having fun. Like, this has literally saved our family because of that. And that's the ripple effect I want to create. And so, yeah, I mean, I've got education at all levels for people.
I love that concept. This last summer, our 14-year-old wanted a longboard, and we live in a neighborhood with lots of sidewalks and pathways around the lake and
parks
stuff.
And, you know,
and I said to Angie, I said, maybe we should get two of them. And through little Amazon shipping fiasco, we actually ended up with three of them. And man, we go out all summer long on those longboards, and it is so amazing.
Yeah, and we actually have a couple more of them too. And so the whole family just goes except for me.
Yeah.
Michael took me down the street holding my hand, and I still landed on my butt. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm good. All right, you guys go. But
and that's right there. That's true wealth. That's the kind of results you hope money gives you. Money doesn't give you those results. It's because you live a more fulfilling life. But definitely having more money and having that freedom, those options, or even feeling like you have options, can create just a brand new life. It really does.
I love it. I love it. So your website is moneyripples.com. Your podcast is the Chris Miles Money Show. What's next for you, Chris?
You know, for me, I'm actually going to snowbird again this year. So I'm going to warm up for a few months. But just keep doing the same thing I'm doing. Like, I've realized that the most success I've seen here, 2017 has been my best year in all areas of my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and really that's been because of consistency. And that's really what I do, is that I just keep moving forward. I just keep swimming, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, for me, like, it's just continuing that ripple effect. Keep building my podcast. Keep, you know, influencing people's lives any way I possibly can.
Excellent. Any final parting words of advice for our aspiring listeners?
Our aspiring writers, they're already listeners.
Our aspiring
highly
writers
successful
who are listeners.
Achieving listeners.
Those people that are listening to us right now.
Yeah, no matter where you are. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, like, there's times I wondered if anybody was listening, if anybody even cared, you know. And I can attest to you that with the thousands and thousands of lives that have been affected in the last 8 years, a lot of it came from my own pain, you know, from my own sore experiences that I had, the hard experiences I had that led me to be resourceful to help my clients too. That mess can be your message, and, you know, people need to hear it. I mean, every one of us has that kind of message. We all have something we can offer and give that can create your own ripple effect across whoever the people you're trying to communicate with, whether it's, you know, locally or worldwide. Mm-hmm. And so my thing to you is just that I respect you. I appreciate you, and I hope that you continue to keep pressing forward, because it's worth it. It's really worth it. Especially now I'm seeing the fruit of it. It's been, you know, years in the making, but I'm telling you, like, now I'm seeing massive, massive changes in not just on my own life, but other people's lives too. So it's worth it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your contribution to the world, Chris. You are making a difference, and you've certainly made a difference with us today here. So thank you.
It's been an honor. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe so that you get each new episode as it comes out. You can find all of our episodes and show notes at calliopepodcast.com. Don't forget to shoot some stars our way if you like the show.
Hey, I'm glad you're still here. I wanted to take just a second to tell you what we've been working on. You know, we've talked a lot about our live courses on the podcast before, and, you know, they are incredible, but it's not always possible to make it to a live course. So for the last year, Angie and I have been working hard to package what we teach in our live courses into an online course that you can participate in from anywhere. The Submission Possible series is a 12-part course that covers everything you need to write, edit, and market your story. There really is nothing like it out there, and we would love for you to check it out. In fact, we want to give you session one for free. Now, there's a link on our website at calliopewritingcoach.com. Just click on the yellow banner there and keep writing.